Well, what a wild week the last week has been. This is All Things Apostolic. We're going to talk about it just a little bit today and add some other comments that I think you will be interested in. Well, welcome to All Things Apostolic. We're glad that you're with us today. It is July the 21st, and I am happy and excited. Of course, part of that is you learned that in most cases, mood is a choice. So if you're not happy today and thankful and filled with the joy of the Lord, you might first check your own discipline mechanism for your moods. But anyway, it's even better, of course, for all of us if we have things that have occurred that are successful and good, then it's a lot easier to be happy. And so I'm happy in both ways today and very happy to be with you here on this Monday in the seventh month of 2025, which is now the month's almost gone. There's one more Monday and then we're into August. It's crazy how fast things are going, but it's fine. We can handle it, bring it on. So we just got home, you know, you can hear it in my voice, a little raspy. Last week was absolutely corobantic, which means very busy. And we were at peak. Before peak on Tuesday, I had council meetings. On Wednesday morning, I had more council meetings. And then Tuesday night was a great service. You know, but you can't sit there like a tin can. You have to participate and engage and then help people pray and encourage young people. And so you're doing ministry the whole time. And then service the next morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, rather, was a great service, tremendous service. And Thursday night and Friday night. And of course, because I'm young, I went to, I'm sure I was the oldest person there, I went to the youth deal afterwards. It was at a big complex where kids could sit around and talk, or they could play volleyball, or they could play basketball, or a number of other things that they had there. They had food trucks and stuff. It was great. All of us kids had a great time. And the campers played the preachers in basketball and thumped them and beat them, barely, but they did beat them. The main reason was, I think it took the, you know, the preachers are old, not all of them, but they're older. Even the young ones are, I mean, they're not out playing basketball every day or every two or three days like these young guys are. And so they really lost in about the first six, 7 minutes, 8 minutes maybe, because it was just old people getting their bones working and trying to get their shot back, and they got way behind. When they finally got themselves together, they came back and just were, I think the score was very, very close, 1 or 2 points. But anyway, it was just a lot of fun. And we got back to the room back to the hotel about 2:30, and went to bed about 3 o'clock, traveled all day Saturday, had all kinds of things happen. Of course, you don't travel just, you know, like the schedule says anymore. It's chaotic. And so the flight was late leaving, which made us miss the next flight after we ran. I checked it on my meter that tells you how many steps you've taken. And so I ran and power walked as fast as I possibly could, about 3/4 mile to get from where I was in one terminal to the other terminal. And you had to go downstairs. You had to take the train. This was in Denver. and the train, there was hundreds of people packed on the train just to get to the other terminal, and the train wouldn't run. Of all things, it's a $50 billion airport or whatever it cost, I don't know, but it's big. And but they can't get the little train to run. So we actually stood on that train for 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 minutes. Well, by then, when you're running on seconds, whether or not you're going to make your flight, by the time we got to the door, they had just closed it about 2 or 3 minutes before we got there. And of course, the law in the United States is once the door is closed, they don't open it. So we had to go to the desk, start all over, get another flight. We got home several hours later. It was close to midnight by the time we got home. We didn't get the same seats. So I got to sit in a middle seat from Denver to Sacramento, which is wonderful. I haven't done that probably in 20 years. And had a great guy sitting next to me that before we got home, he was drunk. And he tried to buy some whiskey from the stand when he first started. Of course, he wasn't drunk. And he tried to give them money, and they won't take money. And he tried to give them a credit card. They wouldn't take a credit card. You have to give them a something else, whatever the latest deal is. He didn't have one of those. So the lady said, let me go see if I can get them some way to fix this where it'll take your credit card. So while she's gone, she left the cart in the middle aisle right there, right next to him. He was on the end and I was in the middle. And so he just reached around the cart and reached in, and there's a whole row there, these little whiskey bottles or hard liquor, whatever it was. And he just picked one up and took it out and poured it in his coffee. And then put the lid on the little bottle and hid it in his pocket. So it was pretty interesting. And then they couldn't help him because he didn't take credit cards, so they just gave him one. Okay, that's now two. They felt so bad that they came back about an hour later and gave him another one. Okay, that's three. And he drank them all. And so by the time we got here, he was talking and asking questions that he'd already asked me before. And and he was so slurred he could hardly talk. Okay, so anyway, we got here. We got home and finally got in bed about, I don't know what time it was, 1 o'clock. And then I had to preach yesterday morning, and it's an honor to do so. But I was pretty, and I got up and I was kind of sick from 4:30 until church time, 4:30 in the morning. And staggering around. But you know what? If you just get in the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Lord comes on you, all that goes away, at least till you get through preaching. So God gave us a great service. Good things happened. Had a great service last night. Had a blowout. I know of one at least that got the Holy Ghost. Somebody told me there was more. I didn't know. And I heard the water running for baptisms. So somebody was getting baptized. Hey, this is what it's about. Changing our world is what it's about. So anyway, it's exciting to be with you this morning, July 21st. And I will just tell you this. Peak was the best it's ever been. And as far as the technology, they had a few glitches and got it fixed. But live stream, I think, was the only primary issue the first night, but they got it fixed. But anyway, that's that. As far as I'm concerned, that's secondary. The preaching, there was no low spots in the preaching. You know, when you've got 5 or 6 services where people are going to be preaching, usually you have some. It's good, but it's not great. And in this case, they were all stellar. It was great. It wasn't just great content, although it was incredible content. And it wasn't just great presentation. But the difference between good and great sometimes is presentation. Is the preacher prepared? Is he thoroughly prepared? In his study, has he went to multiple levels of meditation and reflection on each of the primary points that God has given to him to preach? Until he does that, he really, if he doesn't do that, he will miss some of what would be the most valuable part of the sermon. These brethren had done all of those things. And it was just a joy to hear them preach. It was like, sometimes it's like eating ice cream. Other times it was like eating steak. It was just really, really good. And so let's see, on Wednesday night, Brother Nathaniel Urshan preached. He preached a lot of good points, but one of his primary points was, when we come to certain places, do we lower ourselves and lower the thing, the opportunity, the open vision before us? Do we lower that, or do we rise up to that and match that? So it was just outstanding. Then Thursday morning, Pastor Miles Young preached. Now Pastor Dr. Miles Young preached, and just preached a walk on the wild side. It was just over the top. The exposition, the expository side of preaching from all of these brethren was outstanding. And Thursday morning was a lesson in exposition. It wasn't meant to be a lesson in exposition, but the secondary part of that was, look at this. This is how you preach expository preaching. And then what a great service we had Thursday night. Brother Nathan Cox from Red Bluff, California, preached about not bowing and about standing for convictions and truth and separation from ungodliness. It was just a great rallying call to the apostolic movement. And there was a response, an incredible response to the preaching. And then, let's see, Friday morning was Nathan Holmes. He preached on scattering the seed. Another great expository message, but they were so anointed that the combination of stuff that's like a good meal, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. The setting itself is important. The presentation is important. The whether the foods that match the main part of the meal, is it the right alignment, and then is it cooked right? It was just, all of it was yes, yes, yes. They checked the boxes. And then by Friday night, it was going to be a challenge for Brother Marks, Cody Marks, to preach that night, because the bar was so high in the preaching. But he leaped the bar and preached an incredible message, and did an incredible job of preaching it. And the response, again, was just great. So the Peak Conference was great. The one of the things about every meeting and every organizational component in the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship is that it has some pretty deep layers, philosophical and theological layers behind them. Like, Peak is not just a bunch of us getting together for a big meeting. Peak has theological purpose that's been predetermined, thought through, prayed through. This is what we want at Peak. And Peak is producing that very thing. For example, I mean, you could take just about any thing that the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship does, and behind it has been not just a general theological, well, it's the Word of God and we want it to go to people. That's right, but that's general. But it's intentionality. It's intentionality with specificity. How's that? And there is specific things that we're looking for. In Peak, one of the things that is the goal is spiritual formation of young people, young adults. Now, Peaks for everybody, and there's hundreds of people there that are not young single people or even young adults. But the primary thing is thinking of this generation and their future, because theologically and philosophically, one of the basic premises of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship is that any walk with God, if it's thought of in the context of ministry, if it's going to be anything, it will never exceed the highest point of the spiritual formation of the person doing the ministry. Now, I mean, there will be times God heals blind eyes in somebody's ministry. That's above what the human can do. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you're talking about these young people and the development of ministry in their lives. We're not just talking about preaching in the pulpit, because we believe everybody is a minister and everybody's intended by God to be a leader. That's part of this. That's part of the underlying theology of that drives Peak. And so this is first and foremost. It's the spiritual formation of the individual that determines the ultimate power of that ministry. That's the first thing. There's other factors, obviously, numerous factors, but that's the first thing. And so at Peak, we really keep it as simple as we can in terms of what the focus is. It was a great job. People did a great job there. So a lot of things we want to talk about. I don't know how time goes so fast. We've actually got some things developing that are going to be very exciting, very exciting. It's about all things apostolic, and it's about other things that we are going to perhaps be doing, and it's really looking very good. So stay tuned. You're going to want that also. So this is there's other great things happening. Wilson University is doing very, very good. I would say better than it's ever done. And its future, it needs support. Who is going to bring the deeper messages of spiritual formation and vision and personal emergence? And structures in a biblical fashion, all leading to the main thing in leadership, which is action. But there's a lot of things that precedes effective action. Wilson University isn't guessing about this. Wilson University is a proven factor within the apostolic movement already that spiritually and biblical revelation it's weighted heavily in the content of the whole program. Then the spirit of it is also part of it, the Holy Ghost and the anointing and understanding things about Scripture that people don't even think about. So if Wilson University is not presently a part of your future, you need to think about it. You say, well, I don't have anything. I'm just starting. Well, just think of the first thing you want is launch point, and the launch point is leap, taking the leap. And so leap is a session. It's a certificate program of probably 5 courses. We recommend that as the first thing to give people a broad-based. I mean, it's not just 10th grade Sunday school. It's college, but everybody can do that. If you're just a normal person, you can do that. And so we have a lot of people starting in that. And we have, I think, a very large number from Peak of people who are wanting to improve themselves. And that's what we want because, you know, we get the Holy Ghost and we're saved. But are we our very best for God if we are not developed? And the answer is no. We move towards perfection. And it requires intentionality and commitment and consecration and discipleship. We are disciples. the word disciple comes from the same root as the word discipline. So think about all those things, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.